is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran. I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I'll settle for Lifetime Christmas movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
It's good to be here again. Another week, another opportunity to jump the fence, if you will, into other TV worlds.
That's right.
Which is very exciting.
It's super exciting. We got a little bit of a spirit flashback time travel kind of movie here. And we have a time traveler for our host, a young new film critic from 1998, traveling to us in the future, Alonzo Duraldi. How you doing, sir?
Hello. It's lovely to be here, even without beard, which is, I just had to slap some like hardcore moisturizer on my face because I'm still stinging, and it's been several days now.
Yeah. No, I don't know what you're talking about because I haven't been clean shaven in years. Yeah. Long time.
For me, it was 09.
09.
12 years. Yeah. A dozen years for me.
You did it. Did you lose a bet like Panda? What happened?
No. It was, this was my, 2002 beard. But you know, I my last legit haircut was Valentine's Day of 2020. And then, you know, when it became clear that I was going to have to not get one for a while, I thought, oh, you know, I'll grow the beard out. I'll grow my hair out. It'll be this fun barometer of this whole pandemic thing, because of course it's going to be over within about 6 months or so. Yeah. And then the year hits and you're like, okay, this experiment is not happening anymore. And so Dave was like, all right, he watched the YouTube videos and he figured out how he was going to cut my hair. And then I was like, you know, what the heck? I've always had this sort of morbid curiosity. What is going on under there? Like how much of a Mitch McConnell waddle am I hiding? You know? So I took it all the way and immediately regretted it. But, you know, it is going to grow back. Panda and I now get to sort of compete to see who grows back the fastest.
It's going to be Alonzo. I get the feeling. I also will say this. It just dawned on me. 2002, you were 1 year away from a 20-year beard. Wow. And you just took it all away just like that. Man.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It's true. Well, you know, I think I don't like lists and I don't like anniversaries.
rumor has it hair grows back, so that's always the good news. The good news is always crossing.
Yep,
fingers crossed.
That's right. Dave cut your hair. Are you set? Will you let him cut it again in the future? I mean, it looks good.
Yes, he did. He did a fine job. I mean, I'm going to go back to the professionals when I can go back to the professionals. But it's good to know that in a pinch, that he's got the basics down.
It is a real test of love.
It is.
That's for sure. Yeah. You're really just putting everything in the hands. Guys, we're talking about Spirit of Christmas today. I'd never seen it. Dan, I'm going to say you've never seen it.
I have not.
Alonzo, had you seen this movie?
I had not, although I knew it by reputation.
Wow.
Very excited to talk about it. The Spirit of Christmas originally aired on December 19th, 2015, and it went a little something like this. The movie kicks off way back in the day with a dude in the woods looking at a party like a creeper. He sees this girl hugging another fella, and he seems real sad about that. Then suddenly, bam, someone nails him in the back of the head as the snow falls down, and he dies. Fast forward, we meet Kate. This is present day, and Kate needs to go to appraise this inn that apparently is haunted. So we're excited about that. They can't find anybody to go and appraise it correctly because everybody keeps getting scared of ghosts. So she's like, I'm not scared of no ghosts. I'm going to go and I'm going to check this out. And apparently it's haunted by this guy named Daniel. The dude who got knocked out way back yonder. And he haunts this inn. This is his inn. And he haunts it. He doesn't want to sell it. So she ends up staying the night there. And suddenly Daniel shows up, scares her, and a vase falls on her head, which knocks her out. She wakes up the next morning and Daniel kicks her out of the inn, literally picks her up and drops her outside. She calls the cops. She's like, there's a guy in there, not supposed to be in there. I'm supposed to be in there. And the cops come in and they're like, there, nobody's in there. Nobody's, it's empty. So she goes back in. Daniel pops up again and explains, listen, I am a ghost, but I'm here in the flesh until December 24th, and I'll disappear again, and I'll do this all over again next year. Every year, he comes back for 12 days, disappears again. It's a curse on his life, and he doesn't know the reason why it happens. And Kate, I guess a little detective in her, really wants to figure this out. She can't let it go and completely forgets the reason why she's there in the first place, which is to simply appraise the house. He doesn't know how he died. He doesn't know why he was murdered. He just knows that it happened. And all he knows is that he was on his way back from a successful rum-running excursion in Canada. You know the kind.
Rum-runner.
We get a flashback, and we find out that Daniel was in love with a girl named Lily. And he needed some money, and his cousin kind of got him into this rum-running, in with a bad crowd, I guess you could say. But he needed the money. He wanted to marry this girl and give her a good life. And apparently she was pregnant, but both Lily and the baby died, which is very sad. And Daniel doesn't know. Daniel didn't know about that information, finds it out, and is just very upset. He's like, you gotta get out of here. Dude, I don't need to know all this stuff. So Kate keeps hearing these doors closing, and then she sees a shadow, and she freaks out, and she's like, Daniel, stop! And he's like, it's not me. There's another ghost here. What? She decorates a Christmas tree with Daniel. Daniel's kind of coming around to her, and they're, you know, giving each other eyes, and they're having a wonderful night, and they end up holding hands. Oh, boy. Another like holding the hands of the ghosts. We've all been there. He ends up sitting in her room while she sleeps to keep watch for the ghost. It's all above board. Everybody, come on. The next day, her boss is making her leave to come back to work because she hasn't done any of the stuff she was supposed to do while she was out there. And she's like, okay, gotta go. So Kate does some research and discovers the birth certificate of the kid. And it really was his. Lily got married to his brother just to cover up the fact that she was having, she didn't want any questions. And so she got married just kind of as a cover up. And so that was very relieving to Daniel to know that she wasn't like in love with his brother or anything like that. And so they throw this big Christmas Eve party at the end, and Kate and Daniel end up dancing and they end up kissing. And during that party, Daniel figures out that his cousin Harry is the second ghost, the one that's been running amok and scaring people with his shadows. And he's also the one who killed him, because Daniel was quitting the rum running business, and you don't get out of that life without dying. So they killed him to shut him up and to shut him down. And he's like, I'm sorry that I did that to you. Daniel forgives him, but that doesn't make Daniel, you know, disappear or go into the next afterlife. But he's still there. Why? Kate tells him that she's glad that he didn't disappear. And I want to be with you 2 weeks out of every year for the rest of my life. They kiss and she falls asleep. Lily, she shows up. She's there too. Don't forget about Lily. She's like, you're free. Join me in the great beyond. And he looks back. He hesitates. And Lily, surprisingly chill about this whole situation, says, you do what you want. I'm going to go over here now. She disappears. The next day, Kate wakes up to find that someone made an offer on the inn. And she goes outside and she sees David running in the snow towards her. They embrace, they kiss, and he's like, I'm sticking around, baby! And that, my friends, was the spirit of Christmas. That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly right. We did it.
We're going to break this thing down with four segments here in just a second. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. I can't wait to hear the thoughts on this flick. Here on Deck the Hallmark. Thank you. We're back, everybody. Oh, yeah, we're talking about The Spirit of Christmas, the Lifetime joint of December of 2015. Mm-hmm. We have four segments to break this movie down. We're going to start with the hot take, where we share exactly how we felt about this movie. Alonzo, Spirit of Christmas, how you feeling?
Well, I can see why this movie has a cult following. I think, you know, it's definitely pushing a lot of buttons that we don't get. And this is very, again, TM Hallmarkies, hashtag not my Hallmark. You know, there's a murder at the beginning of this thing. There's a dead baby. There's, you know, dude not only takes his shirt off, but he's got obliques, which... Yeah. Have a nickname that I cannot say on friendly TV, but like just a lot of things you would not normally see in a Hallmark movie. It also has the mother of all Wait What's, but we'll get there later. I'll say I loved the snow. You could tell there was real snow falling around them, and you could see their breath. You know, I know she is a friend of the network, but I have to say this is the first time I've really liked a Jen Lilly performance. I thought she was really funny early on. I bought the romance, so that all worked for me. And, you know, I think it's because of Hallmark pre-2020 programmed us to expect when the kiss was going to happen and when it wasn't going to happen. So you give me a kiss that isn't in the last 30 seconds, and it's like, whoa, what? So I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So this movie for me... is just wild. It's a wild movie. It is. I genuinely didn't know what was going to happen next in this movie, which is great. There was lots of ghosts. There was lots of just questions that I still have. And it's like a timeless Christmas, but like the stakes are higher, I guess. You know,
yeah,
like
say it.
So this movie. Was a blast. I had a blast watching this, and I agree with everything that Alonzo said. I think this is Jen's the best work. I think it really, really good. I don't know who this guy is, but he was fun, I guess.
Those obliques, though.
Those obliques, am I right?
Bran, I need you to say it.
What do you need me to say?
Nobody says the timeless Christmas line as well as you do.
What is the timeless Christmas line? Oh, what are you doing in my house?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
I thought about that the whole time I was watching. What are you doing
in my house? This guy is doing a bit of that as well, and I loved it. And so, yeah, it was a really fun movie. Really fun. Highly recommend.
It's Jen Lilly's best performance. I'll agree with that. It has so many things we don't get to see regularly. It just doesn't make a bit of sense. Like, none. Like, there are just plot holes the size of trucks in this movie, and it's really hard to defend something like that. They got an extra 8 minutes. This thing's over an hour and a half, and I still, for the life of me, don't know what happened at the end of this movie. I still don't.
I'm sure it was cut down for TV originally, yeah, and this is like the...
But it is, there are some gaping wait what's that you just don't get these days, and I'm just telling you, it was hard because I was for once invested in the mystery element, and then you kind of figure that
guys,
out about halfway through.
Dan paused
I
this
paused
movie.
The movie to go to the bathroom.
That never happens.
Which I normally just go to the bathroom, and I'm like, I know what's going on. So I paused the movie because I did want, like, I needed to see some resolution, which never happens. But it doesn't make, like, and the performances are by and large good. It just doesn't make any sense. Zero sense. But I probably liked it more than the average Hallmark movie. So, I mean, I give it that.
Hey! You know. Dan liked the movie.
No, I didn't like the movie.
I'm saying it. You liked it better than the Irish Hallmark movie. And that's enough. That's enough for me, baby. That's all I need. It's time for All the Feels. It's part of the show where we talk about what in this movie gave us those feels. Alonzo?
Well, again, snow. Can't undersell how much real snow makes a difference in these movies. The guy, and maybe it's just because coming off of Pavey not doing this particularly well, I did buy him as being of another time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the less generous might just say that his stiffness sort of gives him the bearing of someone from the 20s. But, however he got there, he got there. So, you know, I'm going to give it that. And yeah, they've got chemistry in buckets, and they've got an interesting relationship as long as you don't ask too many questions. But boy, do I have questions. And again, yep. We'll get to that.
Yeah, for sure.
So for me, the feels was that handhold by the Christmas tree. Like it worked for me. It was such a moment where both of them they both still obviously have so many questions, but the feelings just take over. And what can you do when you fall in love with a ghost and he tries to hold your hand? You hold that hand. There's nothing you can do. I loved it, and it was a really fun, fat Christmas tree, and so all those feels were working for Brain. I love that moment, Dan.
How dare you call me less generous, Alonzo? with just life itself. I didn't have a ton of. I think the hand holding scene was pretty good scene. In your synopsis, you said they were giving each other eyes, and I think that would have been my feels had they handed each other eyes. That's weird.
Okay. No, giving like
making eyes.
No.
Yes. Making
eyes. He's a ghost. He could have pulled his out.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. He's a ghost.
No, not right now. He's not. Not for those 12 days. I want to be very clear about that.
Well, but those rules,
I believe
again,
the quote is he's alive, just not in the traditional sense. That's what they say in the movie. Make sure I get that right from the page, because that's what I wrote down.
The rules are foggy.
They're foggy best. At best.
I believe he could have taken out his eyes if he so chose.
Okay.
So.
Like in Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the Wait What's and the What the Hallmarks. And we need all the time we can get.
Yeah, we do.
So we'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. We're back, everybody.
Yeah,
Deck the Hallmark. We're talking about the spirit of Christmas. Very excited. Let's do the Wait What's. It's the part of the show we talk about what in this movie made us go, wait, what? Alonzo, would you like to get us started, pal?
Whew, okay. I mean, there were small ones along the way, but then by the end, we reached the granddaddy of all Wait What's. Maybe in any of these movies that I've ever seen, which is like, what's even happening at the end of this movie?
Yep.
Is he not dead anymore? Is she just agreeing that they're going to have these 2 weeks together every year, which seems like a weird trade-off? Or, like, why? The whole explanation of the curse makes zero sense, because it's the idea that he spends those 14 days in the house because that was the time that he left to go rum running, and his wife wanted to teach him a lesson about staying at home, but the wife dies after him, so how does she arrange for this curse to happen when she's not a ghost yet? The mind reels. I couldn't figure out any of that stuff.
They explain that though with one line that they slip in, and it's nothing. But they slip in this line where it's the night of the party. I don't even remember who says this. It might be Jen who says this, and she's just like, you know, I can imagine being her, and I'm waiting for you, and I'm just cursing you, and then that's it. So she might have been cursed.
She
literally
was a witch in real life,
literally cursing him the night of the party.
So there are witches after all. Okay.
There sure are.
Good to know. It still doesn't make any sense why she pulls him out to the property line and then says, "The choice is yours." Highways or dieways, and she goes through the thing into what I assume is heaven-ish, and then, from what I understand, he chooses not to be with his long-lost love for the rest of eternity together. He pulls a real Nicolas Cage here from City of Angels to stick around for... Either for 2 weeks or somehow that choice magically made him human.
Well, I feel like he's human now because he's coming back at the end from being off the premises.
Property. Yeah. You see.
Exactly. That's the thing. If he can leave the property now. But yeah, so he is saying, you know what? Sorry, wife that I've pined for 90 years.
That's right.
I just met this new gal and she's really awesome. So
yeah.
Trophy wife time.
She's fine.
This puts in perspective every time in a Hallmark movie we're like, man, this relationship's going too fast. When you've been pining after someone for 90 years and in less than 3 weeks you're like, no, this is the one right here. Sorry, this is the one. Nothing I can do. I just don't know what to tell you.
I've made a mistake.
But it's never clear when she says choose, you can choose for yourself. It's never clear that the choice is between eternity with her and to live a full life. That's never, even though that's the assumption, it's just choose to keep doing what you're doing, but be with Jen Lilly.
Yeah, because you did take a rock to the back of the head 9 decades
That's
earlier.
Right.
I don't know how you're just going to magically shuffle back on this mortal coil for a while.
I need to ask Jen about this movie because there has to be answers, right? There has to be at least a theory about what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't understand.
some smaller scale ones. He's explaining to them what happened the night of the murder, and it's taken him this long to figure out that he was hit from behind. It's like, dude, you've had 90 years to obsess about this. Surely you would have pieced that bit of information together.
I've never talked it through before.
That's all it took. Just been kind of a blur.
Was murdered by someone invisible, or a sniper, maybe.
If I was invisible.
I thought it was bees, but then I remembered it was winter. In a flashback, the wife picks up a copy of A Christmas Carol and says she loves it, and he dismisses it as fantastical nonsense. And I'm like, there are ghosts in Hamlet. That's like, right. Are you just any piece of literature with ghosts in it? Nope, not having it. I mean, that seems a little stuffy. And then the whole thing where he disarms the burglar alarm. I'm sorry. You're a ghost. I mean, admittedly, you're a ghost who eats and is tangible, but still, like, that's so, it's not even that like, he waves his hand over it or something. Like that. No, he knows the code. That just seems so mundane somehow, or someone who's dead.
I hate to bring this back up, Alonzo, but he is alive, just not in the traditional sense. that is how they explain that, because I had that one down, and then old caretaker of the place, I don't remember his name.
Harold
just wind up in the pitch. He's alive. Just not in the, there's only one way to be alive. I just, the best I can understand it is he is actually in solid form, not ghost form, for those 12 days, and he can press buttons and stuff, but otherwise he just goes through the walls.
But for the rest of the year, is he still, you know, hanging out at the inn, but he's just invisible?
One of my big ones, but more than that, if he can disarm it, the motion detector should be able to pick him up, because he's not walking through the door. The door didn't set off the alarm. The motion detector would set off the alarm. So when she sets that alarm,
he walks through the door at the beginning.
But the next time she sets the alarm, he's in the house and he walks to the alarm and undoes it. The motion detector would have caught him if he's solid. If he's a ghost, he can't push the buttons. It didn't make any sense.
Finally, the major question is, he eats, so does he poop?
Yeah.
Ooh, no, that's a good one. That's
good stuff, for sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
The public has a right to know.
They do. Yeah, he's asking the hard-hitting questions.
He shaves his beard.
Look, they opened that door.
He shaves his beard, and he goes immediately to poop jokes. That's right. It's just unbelievable, this guy.
Just stoops so low. So sophomore.
So I have, you know, these are questions that I guess you could consider to be what the hallmarks, but, what can he do? As at the beginning, we are to believe that there have been at least two other appraisers that have entered the residence and gotten frightened by someone in human form.
No,
they're frightened by Harry.
They're frightened by a ghost that's making things move. That is the only way this works, because they're very clear.
So what is happening to them that wasn't happening to Kate? Because Kate nothing happens until she sees the boy.
That's his first day back as being full human, and so maybe the ghost is afraid to reveal Harry. The ghost Harry is afraid to let real, sort of alive Daniel know that he's in the house as well. So he goes into hiding for those 12 days. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. It was driving me nuts, because the boss, Oliver, Jen Lily's boss, says, we got to close this thing by New Year's. And she says that's 3 weeks away, which means it's the 10th when she is in the big city.
Right.
So his time being, you know, in human form has not started yet, because it's only 12 days. It's 11th to 24th. That's right. So the appraisers that he sent before then did not interact with Daniel.
So they interact.
Ghost Harry there all the time?
I guess.
Well, but also, unless Ghost Daniel is there all the time, just not in
he's
human
in ghost
form. He's in ghost form.
Yeah. I got nothing there.
So okay. No, I'm tracking now. So where does he pop up though? Because becomes human form and he walks into the house from being outdoors. What was he doing out there?
Maybe he starts out in the snow or he gets killed and he still can't figure out he got hit in the back of the head. I think the interesting...
It's like a video game. You lose a life and you have to come back at the starting point. You know.
I took the scope back a little bit further and said, how known is this haunted house? Like, I know they're reading a book about it, but how many people believe there are actual ghosts in it and it's not just lore? Because based upon you getting two appraisers to refuse to appraise the house, you would think this is a known haunted house. But then they spend a lot of the movie trying to make sure people don't think it's haunted. And I don't know, like, either it's a well-known commodity, ghosts live in that house, or they're trying to keep that thing a secret. And they kind of do both in this movie. I don't understand it. Like, because I actually wrote down, maybe the sheriff should be the appraiser, because the sheriff has no problem going in the house.
Sheriff has no problem.
No issue. And so I don't know. He refuses to believe there are any ghosts.
Well, thanks for bringing up this the sheriff. You go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is a Scooby-Doo scenario in that you have the caretaker and the sheriff and like all the characters you would expect to see, except that the difference would be that the ghost was actually the caretaker with the rubber mask.
That's right. Of course. Yeah, yeah. Classic.
A couple, we're talking about the sheriff at one point, is talking about it could have been just been a drifter. And Kate says he was wearing a tie. Drifters don't wear ties. And the cop does. The cop says some do.
Some drifters do wear ties.
What are you talking about, cop? What are you talking about? What drifters wearing over there wearing a tie? Get out of here. Mm. And last but not least, I was very puzzled. It is, you know, they kiss at the end of the, or towards the end of this movie at the at Christmas party, and she falls asleep like the, it was as if the kiss put her to sleep. Poor guy. Man. Like, that's gonna make him feel so bad. I haven't had much practice in the last 90 years. I'm a bad kisser. Put her right to sleep.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. That's my bad. I'll work on it. I promise. Poor guy.
Yeah. Oh, man. I just want to be clear. This guy has prized his solitude above all else for over 90 years, and then one person calls him a bad bartender, and he's like, you know what? Bring every one of your friends over here. Bring them all over. Bring everybody over. You're not going to do that to me in the light of day and get away with it. Not on my watch. Not on my pocket watch. Like, I don't understand. He wants no one to know he exists. He wants to get his privacy and just enjoy the inn, and then one woman is like, I bet you're not a good bartender. He's like, oh, yeah, now you've done it. And then he just becomes like, Captain, let's party. Like, I don't understand. Like, he's, you know.
Madam, I am a mixologist.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How dare you? What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my house?
I didn't understand that at all. 100 years of solitude. One, like, hey, no. I don't think. You're going to have to prove it. Early on in this movie, Jen Lilly is eating dinner with her boyfriend, and her boyfriend says, you've got greatness in you, but I'll never be able to bring it out. And then she responds by saying, phew, I thought you were proposing. And may I submit to you, that's the worst proposal of all time. If he's on track to proposing, he's off to a rocky start. You can't start with, you're a great person, but if you're with me, you'll never really be that great. Like, that's not a good opening line.
Before the butt, it sounds like it might have been a proposal. You know, he's warming her up with the good stuff, and then he zags instead of zigs. And it's just like, whoa, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness that you're not proposing with that line. Daniel's cousin, Harry, who's the murderer, spoiler alert, the first time we see him in a flashback, he has a full L.L. Bean catalog on. He is not anywhere near dressed for 1920. Like, it's not even, everyone else is trying their darndest, and he just showed up from the Old Navy commercial and is like, I just got this cool sweater with one button right here. Like,
in his defense, he might be a drifter.
He could be a drifter, and those drifters are really nice.
They dress like nobody's business.
Yeah, and at one point, Jen Lilly's character says, I'm a self-sabotager. No, you're not, because no one is. That's not a word. That's not a word. You're not a self-sabotager. You're a self-saboteur, which I know they're not going to use in that particular movie. So change the dialogue. You can't
saboteur.
You can't say self-sabotager. That's terrible. That's really bad. I mean, my whole family is from like south of south, and no one would say self-sabotager. Like, that's next level. And then lastly, and this is maybe my favorite aside from the whole thing that Alonzo unpacked, which is what? The boss calls her on Christmas morning, and he said, this morning, Christmas morning, we had a buyer come out of the woodworks. And then he says this line, if you think about it, it makes sense. No, No, it does not. Just having someone on Christmas morning go, you know what I got to do before I open the presents and read the Christmas story and, you know, do all the things. I got to call up my boy and put in an offer on this mansion. That's what I have to do Christmas morning. And he apparently they just say to right away that they just go, if you think about it, it makes sense. I would highly recommend you don't think about that. You just leave it alone.
If we've learned anything from these movies, it's that everything happens on Christmas.
Yeah,
that's right. When business deals go through. Mm-hmm. That's when movie premieres happen. That's when, like, you know, giant pet adoption things.
Yeah, oh, the big pet adoption, for sure.
It all happens on Christmas Day.
And I also,
no one's doing anything else.
Daniel put an offer in on the house with no cell phone, and he wasn't at the mansion. Did he walk there? Like, what's how did he get there? Like, how did he say, hey, I'm doing that. I'm putting an offer in. Like, he's analog, bro. Like, yeah. I don't know how he does that.
Yeah, well, yeah, you wouldn't get it.
I got more, but they're in the What the Hallmark.
So he did put an offer on the house?
Yes.
That was him. Were we sure?
Yeah, don't they say it at the end?
Do they say that at the end, Alonzo?
I thought caretaker put the offer in on the house. Caretaker and bartender lady, like, were put a deal in together.
Yeah, if you think about it, it makes sense.
So she could have called from the bar. He could have called from where he lives.
The calling
when he's
is
not
now not
doing
a problem.
The hotel.
But thinking about putting an offer,
everything else is nonsense. Yeah,
yes, yeah, for sure. About it.
Your bartending sucks. Yeah. Not on my watch.
No.
That's when you put in an offer on the Christmas house. You
that's
know,
right? Yay. Absolutely.
It's time for What the Hallmark. It's part of the show where we ask any questions that we still have, which we did a lot of that in a way. What? But what can you do?
I still got more.
Don't worry. Alonzo?
Yeah, I think really the giant question looming over this is, what is Jen Lilly doing with her life? And, like, if there's a sequel, I want to see what, like, same time next curse is going to be, where, you know, her entire year is built around the 2 weeks that she spends, she gets to spend with Hunky Ghost in the inn. And then, like, do they have an arrangement where maybe she's allowed to have other boyfriends in the other 11 months? Or does she just, like, X the days on her calendar like she's, you know, Aaron Krakow in the second Father Christmas movie? And then, of course, it becomes a question of, like, is this a Let the Right One In situation? Ooh. Where she gets older and he stays the same, and then eventually she dies, and then is she going to be cursed to stay in the house? Is she going to cross over to the other side? And if she does stay in the house, does she get to be young Jen Lilly again? There's just so many questions.
You know about Let the Right One In, don't you, Brian?
Sounds like a Benjamin Button knockoff, if you ask me.
No. It's a foreign vampire film. They remade it, Let Me In.
I love that one. I love that. I only watched the original. What powers do ghosts have?
Yep.
In this movie is a question I have, because we see multiple people, ghosts, except for the main ghost, walk through walls. I never see Daniel walk through.
I don't know how many times we have to go back to this. Well, he's alive, but not in the traditional sense.
Yes.
I don't know what you want from me.
No, I get that.
He is not. He can't for 12 days. He cannot walk through walls.
But why can Harry?
He's hard as
why can Harry?
Because Harry is not alive in a traditional sense or non-traditional.
Are you sure?
He's a ghost.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Because at the end of this movie, everyone can see him, and he looks just like Daniel.
I don't think everyone can see him. The whole time he's imagining these people, no one can see him.
No, no, no. Kate sees him upstairs.
Kate sees Harry upstairs?
Alonzo?
Yeah. Kate sees him when he's in the bathroom, go, get out, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, when Ghost Harry shows up and Ghost Lily shows up, Kate can see them. But they're the only people in the room are Kate, human, but not in the traditional way, dude. Ghost Harry and Ghost Lily. So, well, Kate is the only one who gets
but Kate, to Kate you, sees. Even though they take the form, they're still not alive in the sense that Daniel is alive. That line is very important. If we have Tracy Andrean on the show, I'm going to ask her, because he's alive, so not in the traditional sense is very important. Those two can manifest physical form, but they're ghosts. They're not alive as humans anymore. He has 12 days of being alive as a human. He's a real boy for 12 days. It's a selective Pinocchio situation.
So he poops.
He does. He poops.
If Tangina from Poltergeist shows up, she can't do anything about it during those 12 days.
That's
but
right.
After that, she can make that house clean.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's got to take those 12 days off. That's what she's got to do.
I just... What? Yeah, sure, guys. Why not? He's alive.
Yes, he is. Not in the traditional sense. Yeah. I've got some. At one point, she's reading a book, Haunted Inns of New England. And the inn at Holly Grove that they're staying at is chapter 3. So I need to know what's the first two chapters and maybe some other chapters in this book. Is it a whole book about Holly Grove Inn? Or are there other maybe sequels to this movie that we could have with other inns in New England?
Well, they would also they'd have to be haunted and also have ghosts that show up for 12 days.
Yeah.
So I feel like those odds are low.
Yeah, alive and not the traditional. Here's the deal. The next one, we laughed very hard. I can't believe you didn't bring it up. They're at the party at the end of this movie, and the caretaker, I believe, he's talking to two youngsters. they're like maybe 8-10 years old, and here's what he says. I'm not like, and after he says this, the camera pans to our leads, but he says,
he's mic'd up very like it's so loud.
You can hear it. It's very
he's
easy.
So loud.
He says, "That's incredible. That's all you do?" And then it just pans away. What is he talking about?
What secret to life did this guy just throw down? These kids are just like giving him wisdom, and this guy's like,
"That's incredible. That's all you do?
That's incredible. That's incredible."
Maybe he means, "Hey, you just go to third grade. You don't also work in the mill? That's all you do?
That's incredible.
That's incredible."
He says that's incredible twice.
We play we play video games all day.
So
that's incredible. That's all you do?
You live stream yourself playing video games and people pay you? That's all you do? That's incredible.
That's all you do?
So you watch Hallmark movies
for a living.
And you talk about them the same way every time? That's incredible.
That's all you do? Yeah. And lastly, everybody apparently knows that there's a ghost, or at least that the Holly Grove Inn is haunted. I think we can establish that it is a known, that it's, people think it's haunted or they know it is actually haunted. How is no one from like Ghost Hunters or one of these shows? Have they never come out to do all of their dumb spirit tests? Like, how have they never done it? Like, how's it never been on record?
Can we do a live show one year where we do it in a haunted house just to tick off some ghosts?
You and I and Panda we recorded a podcast in a graveyard once.
That's true. We did do that.
We did. That's a true story.
We did do that. Halloween.
On Halloween. Why did we do that, Brandon?
It seemed fun. We didn't have kids.
It was Brand's idea, and it happened maybe 8 years ago. And it was pretty terrifying.
It was scary. It was scary. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes you gotta. Sometimes you gotta.
Yeah.
And there you go to be found.
Nary so, one.
I mean, we did see.
In the traditional sense.
That's true. We did see other people, so who knows? Mm-hmm, what is a ghost?
What really? Yeah.
We did, everybody. Hey. Congratulations. Woo. So next week we're hopping over to Netflix. Now, this was everyone was chattering about this movie this past holiday season. Operation Christmas Drop is what we're going to be watching next week.
Okay.
So Operation Christmas Drop.
Stuck with it.
I stuck with it. We didn't really get to, we didn't decide anything. So it went, what was on the spreadsheet here. So Operation Christmas Drop. And, Dan, I just want you to remember the gecko. I want you to remember
the gecko. Remember the gecko. I got it.
Remember
the gecko. You make sure you remember the night they played the geckos.
That's exactly right.
Also, remember the military-industrial complex. They play a big role in this film.
Perfect.
Alonzo, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to tune into A Film and a Movie this Wednesday. So much fun every week, you guys. I mean, for people that, you know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah. That know what left the right one in is, maybe.
Right. That's exactly right. You know.
Hey, we did Godzilla movies this week. Everybody should be in. It's an all play.
Great.
For sure.
I would say I saw 5 minutes of the Godzilla you were watching, and I would argue not for everyone. That's what I would say. We did, everybody. Congratulations. We'll be back next week. We'll be back tomorrow.
We will. All week long.
Amazing.
Man.
Tomorrow with Mix Up in the Mediterranean.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Can't wait. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam Podcast ad-free, go to BrambleJamPlus.com.